You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. What do we lose when an urban area is, air quotes here, renewed? An exhibition on display at the Detroit Public Library's main branch through March 15th asks that very question. It's called Black Bottom Street View. University of Detroit Mercy architecture professor Emily Cutill used a treasure trove of old photographs to recreate the long-gone Detroit neighborhood known as Black Bottom. It was the center of Detroit's black community until it was torn down in the 1950s to make way for the I-75 expressway and other development. Cutill's display groups the photos by street, by address, so you walk through the exhibit as if you were walking through these long-gone streets. The exhibit is on display at the main branch of the Detroit Public Library in the Adams Strome Hall, and that's where I recently met up with Detroit historian Jamon Jordan for a walking tour of the recreated Black Bottom.
When I stop and think, this is actually kind of like a Google Street View.
Yeah, it is. And what it does is there are many people who have heard about Black Bottom. They know the story, but they could never envision, and they create their own visions of what it is. And basically, those visions are based on what people have told them. Now you can kind of get a view of what Black Bottom looked like just before it was destroyed, because these pictures, of course, were taken just before the destruction of Black Bottom began. In fact, that's why these pictures were taken. These pictures were taken so that they could plot the areas that are going to be first demolished in the urban renewal program that follows the National Housing Act of 1949, when the federal government is funding cities to remove old structures.
When I look at this, it strikes me how beautifully overlaid these photos are. So as you walk along, you really do feel like you're on the street. I feel like we're right here on Macomb Street, walking by homes. I see these cars from the late 1940s, and I see people.
That's right.
What do you think they're saying to us?
One of the things that they're saying to us is, see me. You know, I want you to see me. What many of them did not know is that these pictures and pictures that were taken of them in front of their buildings and in front of their homes, what many of them did not know is that these pictures are being taken to destroy where these people are. They were unaware of that. Most of the people in Black Bottom at that time are renters. And even the owners got a notice of when they're going to be removing and taking the land by eminent domain and destroying the structures. But the renters got even a later notice. So most of the people that you see photographed here have no knowledge of what's going to happen. So they see people taking pictures and they want to be seen. They're showing themselves. They say, see me, take a picture of me. But they have no clue that these pictures are being taken to demolish the places that they're standing on.
Tell us about one or two buildings that really, in your view, were the heart of Black Bottom, of the heart of this neighborhood.
Yeah, so we're going to go down to we're on Rivard Street. We're going to go to Rivard Street.
Okay, and we are walking through these wooden frames that map the streets, and then wrapped around them are the photographs that take you house by house, building by building. So we've walked along Rivard, and where are we now?
So we're on Rivard and Congress, on Rivard and Congress. And when you come over to the other side, you're on Rivard and Larned, which is the end. On Larned and Rivard, we would be right next to the home of Fannie Richards, all right? So her home would have been about right here. So Fannie Richards is the first African-American public school teacher in the city of Detroit. Her family moves to the city of Detroit in 1850, and she lives right here in Black Bottom till 1922 when she passes away. And she's not only an African-American public school teacher, when she comes to the city of Detroit, Detroit has no public schools for African-Americans. So she's teaching at a private school inside of Second Baptist Church, the oldest African-American church in the state of Michigan. In 1865, after the Civil War, Detroit Public Schools finally says, we're going to allow African-Americans to have a school, and it's called Colored School. So it's Jim Crow. It's a segregated form of education. And she gets a job at Colored School Number 2, and realizes that the schools are unequal. And she leads a lawsuit to overturn segregation in Detroit public schools in 1868. In 1869, the Michigan Supreme Court rules that segregation in Detroit public schools is unconstitutional. She teaches for 50 years in the city of Detroit, and she teaches in an integrated neighborhood, which is another part of Black Bottom that we need to understand, is that it's an area where African Americans are there, but it's also an area where immigrants, German immigrants. About a third of those German immigrants are also Jewish. Russian immigrants, Polish immigrants, Irish immigrants, Italians. Of course, Greektown is in the Lower East Side right next to Black Bottom because it's an immigrant site. And so these immigrants are living alongside African Americans. And for a while, the area is integrated with African Americans, many of whom have been there since the 1800s, like Fannie Richards, and immigrants who have been coming in waves, in successive waves, the Germans being one of the earliest groups, but then all the way to the Italians and Greeks in the early 1900s.
What was a building that, as we can point to it, you can say, tell us something about who was there and what it meant to the community?
Yeah, so let's go over around the corner here.
Right. So we're going around the corner, and what are we on?
So we're at Barstow. So Barstow was one of the principal elementary schools in Black Bottom. So we had Barstow, we had Duffield, and of course, when Miller was founded, it was founded as a middle school. It opened in 1919 as Dubois Intermediate School. Because of segregation, you had a group of parents who are going to push for segregation in the schools, even in Black Bottom. So you have African Americans living there with a lot of other groups, but they're gonna fight for segregation in the schools in Black Bottom. They're not gonna fight for segregation in Barstow. So Barstow is gonna stay integrated throughout its entire tenure before it's destroyed, of course, in the destruction of Black Bottom. So does Duffield. Duffield stays integrated. But Miller, which was the middle school, is going to turn into a high school. Because what the parents are really focusing on, the white parents are focusing on segregation, is in the high school. The major high school that serves that community is Eastern High School. And they turn Miller into a high school where most of the African-American students are going to be zoned to between 1933 and 1957. So the middle school becomes a high school, and the high school becomes a predominantly, almost all, but not totally all, white high school. And of course now, Eastern High School is Martin Luther King Jr. High School, named after the civil rights leader who fought to end segregation. It's just the irony of Detroit's history.
So as I look at these homes and I just think about how many generations of families, and as you talk about, a teacher who came here in the 1800s, so this was not new. There were generations who called this home.
That's right. Not only were there generations, which is highly important, that people came in successive waves, that early group of African Americans are here in the 1800s during the period of slavery and the Underground Railroad, and of course, Black Bottom is going to play a central role in the Underground Railroad story of the city of Detroit. And then, of course, the Great Migration in the early 1900s. You have African Americans coming from the South. Thousands of African Americans are coming from the South to places like Detroit, but also Chicago, Philadelphia, Boston, and, of course, Harlem, New York. So you have these successive waves. But not only do you have that, you have cooperations of families. So these houses that we're looking at, in almost every case, there's not one family living in them. There's three and four families. Largely because of housing discrimination, they don't have other options. So a house that might have originally been built for one family is going to have two and three families. And sometimes they're going to make additions to the house so that it can house more people. Never, ever really able to fully house all the people that are there. But to better accommodate groups of families who don't have other options, these homes are going to not have just one successive family living there from generation to generation, but sometimes three and four families living there for successive generations.
So as we walk along here and we see these homes where families lived, yes, and businesses, and then when did this go away and how quickly?
So in 1944, the mayor of the city of Detroit, Edward Jeffries, has proposed a plan along with the city council to begin demolishing old structures. Gratiot Redevelopment Plan. It went through a success of names, but that was one of the major names it was known by, the Gratiot Redevelopment Plan. It's really a form of urban renewal, which for many African Americans, they call Negro removal. And because many times they would be the first groups of people whose homes and businesses would be taken by this. The city didn't really have the funds to do it. So even when the city council passes a Gratiot Redevelopment Plan in 1946, the Jeffries City Plan, they can't fund the destruction of Black Bottom. But that's going to change. It's going to change when the federal government passes the National Housing Act of 1949, where they're going to give states and cities money to destroy old structures. It went through a number of names. Slum clearance was one of the names. Of course, urban renewal kind of stuck. And of course, again, African Americans called it Negro removal.
This is semantics. We're talking semantics.
That's right. And so what we get is after the passage of the National Housing Act in summer of 1949, within 2 months, they began tearing down the first buildings in Black Bottom. So it only takes, once the federal government passes the law or passes the ordinance and going to begin funding this destruction, 2 months later, the city of Detroit has begun demolishing the first buildings. And they're going to be demolishing them throughout the 50s, to the mid-50s.
And then comes President Eisenhower and the push for freeways, expressways.
Right. So we get the National Highway Act in 1956. By the time we get to 1956, most of Black Bottom is already gone. Not all of it, but most of it is already gone. And so now they're going to build a freeway through the main street that ran through Black Bottom, and it's also going to run through Paradise Valley. So now Paradise Valley is going to be part of this urban renewal, and the land is going to be taken in Paradise Valley, which was the Black business district, which had over 350 Black-owned businesses by the 1930s. It's going to be wiped out as well. And so we can go down to Hastings Street, which is the major casualty of Black Bottom in Paradise Valley. And so Hastings, on the western border of Black Bottom, in this exhibit is Hastings Street. So all of the structures you see here, of course, are gone. In fact, all of the structures that we see, period, are gone. This is not all of Black Bottom. This Black Bottom street view is not all of Black Bottom. This is the first section of Black Bottom to be destroyed.
Yes.
You can see there
how big it was.
How big Black Bottom was. And then this is, that square is the first section that was chosen in 1949 to be the original place to be destroyed. And so these structures would be first to be destroyed, but they would not be the only ones. We still have some of the schools. Of course, we have the, which is now the DeQuinder Cut, but that would have been the Grand Trunk Railroad, where the DeQuinder Cut is. So we still have some places that we can actually plot ourselves. And of course, we have many of the churches. The churches tell the story of Black Bottom probably better than anything that I can think of, because we have African-American churches like Second Baptist, which is in Greektown. It's been there since 1857 on one block, on one corner of Monroe.
And anyone who's been to Greektown for a night out has walked by this church.
That's right. And then on the other end of the block, you got St. Mary's, which is the German Catholic church, the first German Catholic church in the state. If you walk around the corner from there on Lafayette, and would have been Hastings, but it's now Lafayette in the Chrysler Service Drive, you have the Annunciation Greek Orthodox Church. You saunter down towards Congress Street and you're going to pass Church of Our Holy Family, the Italian Catholic Church. If you're up on Gratiot, you're going to see St. Joseph's Catholic Church, another German Catholic Church, and St. John's Lutheran Church. And across the street is Trinity, historic Trinity Lutheran Church. The history of these immigrant communities, Germans, Jewish people, African Americans, Italians and Irish, the history of all of these different groups who are coming to the city of Detroit and living in this small space, their history is still encapsulated in those churches that still exist, some of them from the 1800s, the structures are still there.
Redlining was in full swing when people were driven out of these homes, eminent domain, the houses are gone. Where did they go?
So if you had some level of economic resources, you had more options. Some African Americans who had the economic ability to buy their way out of housing segregation. They paid more for homes, and they were able to move into places. You have some of your first African-American families moving into Boston Edison in the 1940s. And part of it is because of what's happened to Black Bottom and Paradise Valley. They're ending up in using their wealth to buy their way into places that would never have let them come in before. But for working-class people and for poor people, they have less options. And what they're going to end up being, a large percentage of them, the overwhelming percentage of them, are going to end up in the area where Jewish people are leaving after World War II, which is the 12th Street, Dexter, Linwood, and Grand River area of the west side of the city of Detroit.
And where you're describing was the epicenter of the uprising of 1967. How is that connected to what happened here in Black Bottom?
Yes, it's very connected, because what we can't see is the fact that some of the people who end up on Dexter, Linwood, 12th Street, the area which, of course, is ground zero for the 1967 rebellion, some of those people had just moved into that area just less than a decade before the uprising. They remember being kicked out of their home. They remember losing their business. So that's a part of what's happening. I mean, it plays on many levels. Joel's Record Shop, which was at 3530 Hastings Street, is forced to move because of the building of the freeway. They end up on 12th. And of course, they're going to be one of the businesses that's going to get looted and destroyed. And it's going to help to bring down the life of a great musicologist in the city of Detroit, Jovan Battle, who's been recording the sermons of Reverend Clarence LaVaughn Franklin, and of course, the children of Reverend Clarence LaVaughn Franklin, who sing in the choir at New Bethel Baptist Church, one of whom is a great singer named Aretha Franklin. And so all of this history is a part of Hastings Street history and a part of Black Bottom's history, but it becomes the history of the city of Detroit. There's almost no area in the city of Detroit that's not somehow connected to this history in Black Bottom, because you have the Jewish history there, you have German history there, you have Italian history there, of course, African-American history there. All of that history is encapsulated in this Lower East Side neighborhood, and that's going to go on to create all kinds of other places. At St. Antoine and Congress, which the exhibit doesn't go that far, but if it went one more block over to St. Antoine and Congress, that was the home of Isaac and Sarah Cousins. They were on the corner of St. Antoine and Congress. Isaac and Sarah Cousins came to the city of Detroit in the early 1830s, and by 1850, they've opened their home to being the first Jewish synagogue in the state of Michigan, Beth El. So Temple Beth El is right there in the same neighborhood as where African Americans are leading Underground Railroad abolitionist movements. So all of that is part of the same history, and it's connected to every other history, because Bethel now, of course, is in Bloomfield. It's in Bloomfield Hills. And so all of that history is connected.
Finally, Jamont, as visitors come to see this exhibit and walk through, what do you want them to think about as they're walking up and down these streets and looking at these photos? What thought do you hope will be in their mind?
The big thought is that there is no area in the city of Detroit, and I argue in the state of Michigan, that acre for acre has this much significant history that transforms Michigan's history. That's the big view. But the smaller view is, when you look at the homes, now you get a understanding of families. These were people. People who had jobs, had thoughts, had aspirations to do something great. Many of them had left Mississippi and Alabama and Louisiana, the Jim Crow South, to make a way for themselves in the city of Detroit. And they're going to. They're going to make a way for themselves, and they're going to transform Detroit. They're going to work at Ford Motor Company when he's offering $5 a day for all workers. They're going to work at what is going to become GM. They're going to work at what is called Chrysler and many other factories. And they're going to transform the city of Detroit from a burgeoning town to a major economic center in America. And their history is Black Bottom, too.
Jamon Jordan, we want to thank you for sharing Black Bottom's history with us on Stateside.
Thank you for having me.
Historian Jamon Jordan gives walking history tours of Detroit through his business Black Scroll Network History and Tours. The Black Bottom Street View exhibition will be on display through March 15th. You'll find it on the third floor of the main branch of the Detroit Public Library, right across from the DIA.